We're good to go. 25.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. So, Rao, would you like to talk us through this one, mate?
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, councillors. The Corporate Services report for this month reflects the cycle we're at. It's the end of the first quarter of the year, and we've just working through the financial statements with the TAS Audit Office. That's always a long and detailed process. Yes, it's certainly fun. Councillor Wright, no doubt about that. Everything's looking pretty good at this stage. I've noted, because it is the quarterly report, that we thought from a budgeting perspective that interest rates would probably be decreasing a bit faster than they have been. So it's good to see our investment portfolios actually continuing to perform quite well. And I'll touch on that when we get to the financial statements. October, again, quarterly, we had the audit panel meeting, and the minutes for that are presented in a separate agenda item. And at an IT level, there's a lot of work going on in that space, and the IT strategy will also be presented as a separate agenda item there.
Thank you very much for that, Rao. Can I have somebody move that report be received? Councillor Johnson, seconded. Councillor Carter. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.13.2, the monthly financial report. Rao, would you walk us through this one? Because there is a few little variances with the getting paid in advance for the grants.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. As always, under the profit and loss statement, councillors, you'll see a series of notes there that highlights any of the major variances that are there. But moreover, the first quarter of the financial year, council's overall financial position remains very strong and very stable. The results show our steady income, controlled expenditure and a solid cash position. Importantly, the variances seen at this stage of the year just largely reflect timing issues and timing differences where grant funding arrives and when projects reach their spending phase, rather than any change to our underlying financial strength as such. Our revenue is tracking slightly ahead of budget, but again, that's mainly because of grants, and user fees are up modestly, reflecting steady growth and use of, for example, our waste transfer stations, statutory approvals and our facilities. I will note again that we also received a fairly hefty refund from Aurora Energy, and that will continue to flow through the financial statements all year, and that was due to really good work on behalf of Rachel in the accounts department. On the expenditure side of things, we're sitting around 7% below budget. That mainly reflects just the start of the year and staff vacancies with some delays around people starting. And that's just a natural lag that will change as we move through the year. And there's no signs of cost pressures or budget overruns. Employee costs, materials and services and depreciation are all tracking within expectations. And our capital works program is progressing well with about $1.45 million in works in progress at the end of September. And that, Mayor, is pretty much a quarterly update.
Thank you very much for that, Rao. Can I have somebody move the financial report be received? Councillor Wright, seconded. Councillor Barnes. Any questions to Rao on the report? Councillor Johnston.
So now that we've got more money, does that mean we can spend more?
Run that past me. What was that, Willis?
Good try. Yeah. I just thought, maybe we could, 7%. Anyway, maybe it wasn't a serious question, but I think if we're doing well, and if it's an underlying thing, it would be nice to be able to,
I think you probably
spend it in the appropriate way. I'm not just saying throw it around, obviously.
I think you may have just misheard the
update,
Councillor.
I'm thinking
Councillor,
about the 7%.
Mayor, on the expenditure side, costs are sitting around 7% below budget.
Yes, that's what I'm hearing.
Yes, and that pattern is fairly typical for the first quarter of the year. And that will rectify itself as we work through the rest of the year.
Okay. Well, if it hasn't by the last quarter, well, we might be able to do something.
I'll leave that to you, Mayor and Councillors, but that's just the update at this point.
Thank you.
I just want to say, you know, the work you do, it's great. It's very easy to follow and see what's happening, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Councillor.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Okay, if everybody's happy, no questions, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.13.3, the visitor information report. Rao.
Thanks, Mayor. Councillors, this is provided for your information on a monthly basis. The visitor information staff and the history room coordinator provide a series of updates there. I think, Mayor, if... take the report as read, if there's any questions.
Thank you very much, Rao. Can I have somebody move this? Councillor Lefevre, seconded Councillor Carter. No questions. Councillor Lefevre?
Just a comment. When I go to the East Coast tourism meetings, I like to bring up the numbers, and they're always fascinated by them. The TAS tourism rep was very fascinated by the fact that 991,000 people visited the information centre. He said that must be counting the same people many, many times. And when I thought about it, some people probably go in 30 or 40 times a year. That's how you get your 991,000.
Visits.
Yeah,
we should never ruin a good story by finding the truth.
It is.
It's still a very, very relevant that the amount of people who want physical contact, not be looking at their iPhone, to get information, and it's very relevant. And regardless of visitor information many years ago wanted to get rid of them, we've got the data to prove that they are still very, very valuable part of our economic benefit interface on tourism on the East Coast.
That seems to be a bit of a theme throughout the state too.
I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 25.13.4. We're going to defer this one, John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Late last week, a query came up in relation to one of the planning delegations, and I've taken legal advice on it, and I want to talk further with Council in relation to this matter. So we would like to defer this item to the next Council meeting, Mr. Mayor. So if we can just
thank you.
A motion to defer.
So could I get somebody to move a motion that we defer this? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Johnson. Anybody against deferring this? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillors.
And once we got all the legal advice in, we'll bring it back and discuss it. 25.17.1 is a General Manager's Report.
No, that's 13.5.
Have I missed one?
Yep.
All my sticky notes, and I still missed one. Oh, hang on, that'd be the... Okay.
We want to hear.
The restrictive covenant, 25.16.2. Where the alarm? I went too quickly.
Page 1064.
Yeah, thank you for that, Liz. I went straight to my next tag. No, I don't need that. Thanks, John. Information Technology Strategy, 25.13.5. Rao, this has been a journey, and I'd like to really highlight how our council is embracing the future, not wanting to be left behind. So this is a really important issue.
Yeah, no, thanks for that introduction, Mayor. It has been a journey, and it will continue to be a journey for some time to come. Councillors, as you're aware, over recent years, our reliance on digital technology and the IT just continues to grow and expand. You know, it touches all of our core services: finance, asset management, customer service, and the landscape around us has shifted significantly, and it continues to shift at a very rapid rate of knots, in particular in the cybersecurity space and in the data protection space, which we can't underscore enough how important it is. Council takes it seriously, that we are protectors of community data. If we talk about where we need to invest in years to come, the IT strategy that's been put forward provides a very clear and actionable direction for the next 5 years. That is about creating a stronger cybersecurity resilience. It modernises our workplace systems and it enables a more connected and capable workforce. The strategy ensures that the technology decisions are made in line with our own risk appetite, the governance standards expected of a local government, and our long-term financial sustainability as well. It's important, Mayor, to understand that the IT strategy, while it outlines a roadmap forward, the governance required around IT management and IT implementation in this day and age is equally as important as the systems or the hardware and the software themselves. While IT you can often think of as separate to people, it is the people that are using it that are our biggest risk, but also who benefit the most. So the governance structures around how we move into this new digital phase for council and our community is equally as important. And I've tried my best within the agenda item to show council and the community that we have the governance structures and a very solid plan moving forward for the next 4 to 5 years, but most importantly, over the next 12 months, to bring forward these policies and procedures that are required for us to not only grow our IT maturity, but also grow the governance structures that support around it. So, councillors, we have discussed this at a workshop. It has been to the audit panel. I'm open to questions, anything that requires clarification, but ultimately I seek your support in endorsing the strategy and the associated roadmap that goes with it.
Thank you for that, Rao, and I think very well spoken. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Johnston, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to Rao on this?
Yes.
Question?
It is a question because it's moving so fast for all of us, not just our council. It just seems to be there's something new happening every day. So it's, you know, I really am pleased that all this work has been done, obviously. And we will be able to, through this, have the we're going through a revolution.
Yeah.
We've had revolutions before. We're in the midst of something, in my opinion, that we don't really know where it's going to yet. So I thank you for this. And I hope you can continue to guide us through this and that there is the flexibility to move with the stuff that's going on out there. I mean, it's a statement, but I feel more and more every day. I listen to the radio all the time and I just feel like we're in the midst of a new digital whatever revolution. We did the industrial one, now we're on to, you know, the next one.
Where's the question, Liz?
There's not a question.
It started off with a question, Liz.
I suppose the question is, you will continue to work with us for our governance around this, obviously, and that there is obviously flexibility within this for us to be able to be part of that revolution, I suppose.
Yeah. Through you, Mayor, I think I understand the question. A cornerstone to the approach that we're taking is that we do not have the skills in-house to drive this and keep up with the ever-changing landscape that's in front of us. So partnering with a service provider, having the right service level agreements in place with those service providers potentially, to give us the internal and external resources we need to meet those challenges is embedded very much within this approach. And Mayor, I think that should be the confidence that council and the community would expect of a council of our size and scale.
Very well said, Raoul, and I think it's a very, very optimum time that we're bringing this forward now to be able to proceed to the next level. Any other questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.13.6 is the audit panel minutes. And Raoul, this one would be riveting, so would you like to start with this one?
Well, in many respects, I'd like to start in a slightly unusual way by thanking the two councillors that sit on the audit panel and have to work through these agendas every quarter on top of the work that they do coming to the council meetings and working through the agendas that we have to work through. Councillor Wright and Councillor Lefevre have been exceptional members of the audit panel since my time here, and they really do provide great input at the meetings, and I hope and I think I can be confident in saying that the oversight that they provide should give Council a lot of confidence in when you look at the minutes here. It is not a small, insubstantial role. So, councillors, as you can see, this quarter we worked through everything from the Code of Tenders and Contracts policy that's already been passed by council, the ratings exemption remission policy, the asset recognition and depreciation policy, the asset disposal policy. We reviewed the financial reports, the quarterly report on the risk register, the annual internal audit program, reviewed the audit findings from the TAS Audit Office, and they had an early look at the IT strategy and also the request for proposal for IT managed services that will be going to market in the coming months. That's not all of what's in the minutes, but it's a high-line overview of what's there, Mayor, and I trust councillors will have read the minutes, and if they have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you very much for that, Raoul, and I think it is very much appreciated by all council, the effort that Councillor Wright and Councillor Fever does. It's probably a little bit boring sitting through it, but once you get involved in it, you can understand the necessity of it. So we've got a couple of good people who've put their hand up for a long time doing it. Any other questions or concerns? Councillor Fogg?
Thanks for those kind words. I'd just like to say that things are much better now. I mean, the timing of the agendas, we get them probably a week out now rather than on the Thursday or Friday ready for the Monday morning meeting. That's great. We appreciate it. It makes it a lot easier.
Raoul, just a question for me, just on this, the request for the IT Management Services Agreement, everything that we're going to do. When I was in Sydney at the last cybersecurity conference up there, they kept bringing up also about being insurance ready and how you report against that. That'll be through the IT group or council itself if we observe a breach, that there's incorporated through that agreement.
As in, if there's a breach of our cybersecurity, we would report that.
But what I was getting to, because they are manning the technology, driving the IT, it's their insurance, not council insurance, if there was a breach. And I'm just looking big because we've seen Optus and everybody else with all these breaches and Qantas and.
Yeah, look, that may be something we can stipulate in the service agreement, but we have our own cybersecurity insurance in place, and they actually they effectively provide us a report every year on our cybersecurity posture and how we're going. So we're covered by our insurance policy as it stands.
Very much, Mayor. Any other questions? Barry?
It's great that we're really proactive in the IT area, keep you on top of things. Just thinking from a community perspective, that really worries me. I'm looking forward, what are we doing for those people? We had someone come to us last week in his 80s, messed up his bank account because he was online and the power went off. Then he had to ring up and then his passcode had to change, probably an hour or 2 hours. So as we go down this journey of changes in information technology, I think we've also got to keep in the ball game what individual community members are going through and how do we help them as well.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, it certainly brings up a really interesting topic from, I guess, from a regional perspective. You know, cybersecurity is a threat to all communities. How do we as a council, or do we as a council, have a role to play in that? And that's a broader question for council and the sector. But certainly, you know, Councillor Fever, it's a risk. And given our demographics, it's one that, you know, is certainly something we could help with at some point if we chose to.
Thank you very much. If we have no further questions, Councillor Johnston.
Just from what you asked, your question and your answer about our cyber security people that give us a report once a year, it feels like maybe that could be increased to once every 6 months. It just feels that as one of those people, I think that Barry's nearly talking about me over here with the, you know, all this, all these changes and keeping up with it, that things are changing very quickly, and maybe these are, I'm sure they would be looking at these things, but to ensure ourselves around cybersecurity, I feel that it's happening really at a breakneck pace. And I really support, I don't know how we do it, but our community, because we have an ageing community, we know that, we're in that whatever it's called space that we had when the demographers were here. And I don't know how we do that, but it would be something that would be good to consider as far as public, you know, providing some information.
I think, Councillor Johnston, we bring it to a workshop and have a discussion.
Yeah, OK, sorry.
Not
yep.
here.
Yep. OK, but I think that would be
agree.
Something to consider, yes. Thank you.
OK, all in favour?
We haven't got a mover and a second.
We had a mover and a seconder. We had Councillor Johnston and Councillor Wright.
Well, you've got me now, if you'd like.
OK, we go in favour again, and if we haven't, we'll get it right the second time. All carried unanimous. 25.14.1 of the Works and Infrastructure Report. So, David, what have you got for us this morning?
Thank you, Mayor. Councillors, David's away on leave. He's off in Korea. And his report outlines what the Works Department's been up to. It's starting to get that time of the year where they have to start cutting a lot of grass again, and you can see that the grading of Anson's Bay Road, which seems to be something we continually do, is ongoing, and weed management activities around the municipality, and the traffic counters on Trelogan's track to monitor vehicle speeds in response to residents' requests, and the speed limit be lowered to 50 kilometres an hour, which, as you can see, it's 95% of people were at 41.15 kilometres an hour. So he's not proposing that a speed limit reduction be put in place there. Part of David's job, which he probably doesn't talk a lot about, is the amount of work that he has to put into the St Helens Aerodrome. Running a aerodrome is not a simple business when it comes to dealing with CASA regulations, and the fact that you probably fairly little about it shows that David's doing an incredibly good job in that space. He's reviewed and updated us to the Helens Aerodrome Asset Management Plan and the Mountain Bike Trails Asset Management Plan in the period. And, yeah, that's quite an achievement. And really, that's... I did actually touch on the fact that the Capital Works program's underway. And if I can just refer back to my notes, Mary, if you don't mind. We've got $1.45 million worth of work in progress at the end of September. And the resealing program for the road network is front-ended this year. So we'll see the resealing works, most of it happen before December, as I understand it. So that's a really good outcome, as opposed to leaving it late in the sealing season. And, I think that's probably as much as I can provide.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to Rao from Council? Councillor Johnston?
You're not him, but anyway, how's it going now that we've changed the bin situation, you know, 1 week on, 1 week off? Are people finding... I think it's great, personally, yep. But I'm just wondering how that's going.
Really, really interesting through you, Mayor, that as much as the infrastructure department delivers the program, okay. We in corporate, in customer service, are often the ones who would get any complaints that are coming through. We've had very few complaints.
Any praise? I just gave you some, but...
I suspect most people are fairly happy. I know as a ratepayer myself, I really, really like the new structure of what's there. Certainly internally it's being delivered really well. The new truck that we have, while it had some teething issues initially, that's on the road and working really well. I think it's actually, you know, from everything I can see and the lack of complaints that we've had, it appears to be working very well. It's the first quarter. Yep. It'll be really interesting to see at the half-year mark whether we're generating really significant efficiencies compared to what we were when, under the contract previously. I suspect it's going pretty well. And I think if you hover up a little bit, the strategic decision Council made to bring this service in-house, that was actually a pretty big call. And it's a call that I think is actually delivering a better service to our ratepayers than the model that we had previously. And from what I can tell, looking at the financials, it's certainly not costing us more. So that's really positive in itself. I think it's taken a while for people to get their heads around that it's yellow bin, red bin. There's an onus on councillors and council staff to always be the first ones to put your bins out because everyone else in the street seems to follow. But look, beyond that, I think, Mayor, it'd be fair to say I think the service is going pretty well.
I have one other. Please indulge me.
It is a question, Councillor Johnson.
Yes, it is.
Just checking.
Can we, on page 1088... where it talks about reducing contamination in curbside commingled, blah, blah, blah. And it says here's practical steps, which I think are fabulous practical steps. Know what's recyclable, clean before. Is there any way we can get that out to the community besides in our agenda?
I'd have to defer to
James. Jane's going like this at the back.
When we sent out all the new waste calendars, we actually put, because we're only one-sided now, we actually put the recycling information on the back around what you can actually recycle, and we included like a little flyer with it as well.
Because that's excellent.
Yeah, and we included in the rates brochure as well, just that sort of stuff.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent.
Okay, any further questions? Councillor Fever, then you're just scratching your head, Anne. Councillor Fee.
It's an answer, not a question. Last week through Jane, I asked for some information regarding the broken pontoon down here at the main boat ramp, and David kindly got back to me to say that a piece has been ordered that's coming from Queensland. So when it arrives, that'll be fixed. So if anyone in the boat has returned, we ask you a question. So the other thing is that if it is a question, have we thought about anything the lids and bins, rubbish bins? With the wind in the last few weeks, three people lost their lids in our street. They just blew open, then they just flapped, then they just broke off and disappeared. So I just wondered if that had been taken into account, if there's anything we could do, or I imagine it's a whole municipality problem.
I think next time we get bins, we'll get cyclone-proof bins instead of just standard gale force.
Mayor, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer to that. But, I think, to be fair, most bins are manufactured to that standard. And if people lose their lids, they can ring the office here and we'll get a replacement to them.
Yeah, the good thing is, Councillor Fever, while I was joking a little bit, I've had my lid blown off on the Long Hill and come down and put a report into council, and there was no problems in getting a new lid to get it fixed, because once they flip off, one side of it broke out, yes. Then the next piece went, and council carries spare lids, so people have got to feel quite comfortable just coming to council, and council will assist.
Might be worthwhile putting in the next newsletter.
Councillor Carter.
It's just back to the collection process. I think the other aspect beyond financial is the social, and it's certainly appreciated within the community that you get a wave on your garbage day as well. So I think we've done an absolutely right thing, not just from a financial perspective, but a community perspective.
Totally agree, Councillor Carter. Okay, if we have no further questions on this, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, 25.14.2 is the animal control report, which we discussed at workshop, which is there for your information. So can I get somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Wright. Seconded, Councillor Carter. No questions on this one. Councillor Carter, I thought you were scratching your head again.
No, I just wanted to make sure that you gave other people the opportunity to ask first. It's in relation to the summary statement in terms of the different varieties of animals, and it predominantly is dogs, as you've heard me ask before. But I am rather concerned that the deer are now in Beauty Bay and in the houses above Beauty Bay.
We saw some of the
problems. And the AMBO officer, Angela, was doing her service early one morning recently, and four deer came up out of Beauty Bay across the road in front of us. So the point I'm trying to make here is I think it's beyond reasonable that we agitate all the appropriate authorities and let's get something positive done in terms of collecting data and doing something about not only deer but cats and a number of other animals beyond dogs that are causing us concern within our community.
We may have to have a deer crossing there, Councillor Carter, when they go for their morning swim.
I've heard some of your solutions in the past there. I'm quite convinced they're possibly effective.
Okay, look, they have been reported. Parks are aware of them, and we all know that it's not a very easy task to have high-powered weapons in a community with deer, and so they do tend to target them on the verges around at the community, but parks are very, very well aware of the situation in Breaker Day and across Tasmania in general. So good point, Councillor Carter. Councillor Johnston?
Just on that, there is apparently, and Jane might know about this too, there is an app that we should be getting out to our community, that there is an app where you can say, I saw this animal here, to keep getting that data to the state government, because really this is a responsibility not just of us, yes, to advocate, but really the state government has a serious responsibility here to look at these issues for our communities, those peri-urban communities that are really being impacted by deer.
Anyway. Any further questions on the animal control report? If there's not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 25.15.1 is the Community Services Report. Good morning, Chris. Good
morning, councillors.
Chris, would you like to highlight anything through yours?
I think it's self-explanatory, the report, just letting councillors know that we are ramping up for the holiday season events, and we've got quite a few that we're working on, council ones as well as community ones. So we're going through processes and getting those ready for the actual event to occur.
Can I get somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Fever. Any questions to Chris on the Community Services Report? Councillor Johnston.
It's ramping up now and there's a lot to do. It's a busy time. Is there ways that any of us councillors can be of assistance to the staff as far as in our communities to participate?
Raising that, councillors. Yes, it would be really good if you could promote the Australia Day nominations, junior and senior, please. That's very, very important. So when you're talking to your community members, and there are some people that just sit under the radar that we don't remember. So if you wouldn't mind just spreading the word that the nominations are actually open, that would be, we'd be very grateful for that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Councillor Carter.
Thank you. I have asked this question previously and I'm not expecting an answer today. I'm just wondering, in terms of the council sponsorship, we had suggested we'd undertake a review of some of that allocation previously in our year, and I'm wondering if there's any progress in terms of reviewing that sponsorship. As I said, don't expect an answer today. I just wanted to raise it again.
Through you, Mayor, we can certainly do that. But if councillors have feedback, that would be really handy to have before we start the review.
Thank you.
Any further questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 25.15.2 is the Bay of Fires Art Festival request to reallocate funding.
This was discussed at the workshop, but just for those that may not have been there, we allocate $4,000 in the budget process for the Bay of Fires market. The Bay of Fires Winter Arts Festival asked that if we could reallocate the $4,000, so there's no extra bucket of money being allocated, it's just reallocating the existing $4,000 sponsorship that Council already provides to the sand sculpture family workshop day.
Somebody move the officer's recommendation, Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions on this? It's pretty well straightforward, it's just a straight reallocation. Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Oh, Councillor Peter.
Just had a question with the draft funding arrangement. It was a start inside most of those incoming months. What happens if they don't get up? They're obviously after Greens.
Correct. If they don't get the funding, I would imagine it doesn't go ahead. Unless they fund it. They did say that if they didn't get enough funding that they may be able to fund it out of their existing bank account. Correct. We don't hand it over straight away, no.
All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. 25.16.1 is Development Services Report. And good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Mayor and Councillors. Obviously a heavy planning load for the department this month, but just wanted to also thank councillors, because it's a lot of information to sort through, and also, you know, governance and all the work that goes into preparing the agenda. So, yeah, big one for the councillors this month. The report obviously provides some information for the first quarter of the financial year. So, yeah, councillors may have noted that the planning and building approvals are slightly up in comparison to the previous financial year. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that tracks along as the year goes on. Other than that, just knocking over as much project work as we can in the strategic space as well as the building project space, and provided some detail in the report, and happy to take questions.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's report be received? Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Wright. And any questions to Jake on the report? We have no questions. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thanks, Jake. 25.16.2 is a restrictive covenant, Heritage Road. Would you like to talk us through this one, please?
Yeah, certainly. So this matter, it's a request for written council consent to build outside of the building envelope on volume 156294, folio 1. The building envelope was placed on the sealed plan as part of a historic subdivision that included a two-lot subdivision and boundary adjustment. A review of the historic files suggests the building envelope was placed on an area of existing cleared land. The title has supported existing cleared area for quite some time, and the site has been subject to bushfire events. The restrictive covenant is different in that it makes provision for council written consent to build outside the envelope as opposed to requiring the restrictive covenant to be removed from the plan. The request has come about as part of a discretionary development application to build a dwelling on the title, with the site being outside of the building envelope. Included in the request to build outside of the envelope is a proposal to also include an area of revegetation on the site that, if approved, would be enforced as a condition through the development application for the dwelling. The applicant has provided reasons as to why the landowner requests to build outside of the envelope, and these include the building location is steep, creating difficulties in building and building design, the location is difficult to access by vehicle, the location faces southeast and has restricted solar access, the ability to install an effective solar system to the roof is diminished, and the building envelope is located within a landslip risk area, and wind exposure is greater. So I've provided in the report some of those overlays for you, and also a plan showing where the revegetation would be proposed, should council agree to the request. I've put forward a recommendation that council consent to the request to build outside the building envelope is given, but conditional on obtaining a development permit for use and development in accordance with the Act and the planning scheme. It should be noted that this does not amend the sealed plan by removing the building envelope from the folio plan, but it responds in a manner consistent with the direction of the restrictive covenant.
Thanks for that. Deb, can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Fever. Councillor Barnes, you got any comment?
No.
Thank you, Councillor Fever.
No, I just support it because in the planning process, covenants don't ride over everything else, so I think it's fine.
Have anyone like to speak against this? We have nobody who wants to speak against this. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried and against, Councillor Johnson and Councillor Wright. So that is carried. 25.17, thank you, Deb. 25.17.1 is the General Manager's report. John, would you like to take over?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of things. I'll start off with the Online Access Centre. Meeting with Patrick Gregory a couple of... last week, must have been. And note that he also met with St Helens Online Access Centre and a few other access centres in the area. Effectively, they're still proceeding with looking at options for the future, and four options that potentially on the table was to continue funding an online access centre, join with another organisation, or bring it into combination with the library as well, or trying to pass it off to another organisation full stop. The probably with the ones here, certainly the Fingal one is a little bit different because that's there's no library there per se with Link, so talking to another organisation there in relation to that. St Mary's one, obviously looking at the options there for it. It is quite a small space, the St Mary's Library building, but they've also talked about potentially the open library access approach, which is extended hours, operating with a registered swipe card type system, which was quite interesting, but that's something they're working on at the moment with that. In relation to St Helens, and happy to send a note through to councillors. Obviously, he met with the Online Access Centre and talked about the option there of the co-location, talked about building modifications involved in the laneway as well, and had a discussion around concerns that held by the Online Access Centre regarding constraints of state government, regulation rules, etc. Obviously, it's a work in progress at the moment, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens through this process. So that was the piece on the Online Access Centre.
Can I ask a question?
Yep, I'll endeavour to answer.
Is it true that there will be no funding beyond the end of this financial year?
As I understand it, direct to the Online Access Centre organisations as they stand. But if arrangements haven't been finalised, then I would expect that there should be extension of funding if they haven't got something into place.
So my understanding is that they've been told there's no continuing funding. That's what I'd be concerned about there is I have no idea in regards to St Mary's and Fingal. I'm aware of what St Helens is doing and they have alternatives to survive, but I think it's worth us pursuing the notion of if there's no funding, what are we going to do, particularly in regards to the digital conversation we had a little while ago.
So really, at the end of the day, the indication was, like, if they haven't got something resolved, then they'll have to provide funding. They're not just going to stop it there. It was my understanding.
Gary?
So at Fingal last week, we received an email from Patrick essentially saying that to allay any concerns, he wanted to let us know that funding for the Fingal Online Access Centre will continue beyond the end of the current grant deed, which finishes on the 30th of June 2026. Yeah.
We'll continue.
Yeah. I'd expect it will get rolled into a broader funding arrangement, not as a separate program.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just in relation to
Sorry, can I just follow that up? But that's with the Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House, really, isn't it? So it's not as a separate. The other ones, for example, in St Helens may not have had been told the same thing.
No, well, see, there are different options, Councillor Johnson. Yeah. So one is Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House, taking over that responsibility. Yeah. The one here at St Helens is around the location with the link and the same at St Mary's. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's not about...
Yeah. Yeah.
As I said, there's no library at Fingal, no link presence at Fingal. So that ruled out that option, otherwise I dare say they would have been doing that.
Thank you.
The only other thing there, Mr Mayor, is just noting that there's a community open day for the study hub on Wednesday. And that's anyone who's intrigued or interested to actually... it's not the official opening, that will be in the new year once the lift has been installed to complete the accessibility element of it.
So that's the one from 2 till 6, there's a... Yes.
You just drop in at any stage.
Yes. Fantastic.
Nothing else here, Mr Mayor?
Councillor, I'll just get somebody to move that we receive the report. Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Wright. Councillor Fever.
I was going to say, at the next workshop or soon, I would appreciate a conversation about IT and the Online Access Centre in the workshop sphere.
Given what you've raised, Barry, previously.
Yes, what, and also Ian.
Absolutely.
Just how are we going to cater for the average person?
Yeah.
And speaking about that gentleman earlier, he actually went to the neighbourhood house. But given the structure of the building, he was actually calling his details out to reception. And you should be in a separate room dealing with a professional individual. I think we need to discuss everything in that gambit. Yeah. It's not an easy fix, but it's essential, I believe.
Councillor Carter.
I was just wondering if there was any
indication from Senator Askew in terms of the aquatic facility analysis. I think from things that have been said previously, there's no indication that there's anything coming from the feds in any certainty in the future, but I'm just wondering, was there any productive conversation with her in regards to that facility?
Mr. Mayor, it's more of an update in relation to where it was at, because it's a live project within the community. There is more funding, noting that the senator is on the opposite side of the house. Will not play a key role except to advocate with fellow Tasmanian politicians in that in relation to that, should we be pursuing financial grants from the feds.
I think too, if you have a look, the commenced design and work for the commencement of a dedicated CT scanner is good in the first 100 days. I think we were very lucky through Michael Fox and a bit of advocacy on our behalf and some meetings I had with the previous Minister, Jackie Pursuisma. We actually got that, and that's pretty exciting to have that over the next couple of years completed and be in our community as well. So this, we are doing quite okay in many areas, and I think that's just something. But John, if I may, I would like through this just formal recognition and a thank you to Jane, Chris, Jenna, and whoever else helped with that little function on the Beauty Bay. It went so well, and it was through your approval that went ahead, and the staff that worked in that made a real success to our community. And I think just a big thank you to all of them who was involved in making that happen.
No, it was a great event, Mr. Mayor, and a lovely walk around the bay. And as we were walking, the lights seemed to be coming on as we approached them, which is, look, we weren't going fast enough, because then they went like that, and we weren't going that fast.
If we have no further questions, I'll take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 25.17.2 is the office closure. John.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Once again, coming up towards that Christmas break period, and I've recommended that we close at 12 p.m. on Wednesday 24th and reopen on Monday the 5th. Given the fact that it's hardly worth opening for one day, Mr. Mayor, and nothing much happens on that.
Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Oldham and seconded Councillor Barnes. No discussion on this. We've discussed it heavily at workshop, so all in favour? Carried unanimous. 25.17.3, the local government reforms to councillor numbers and allowances. John?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. An interesting discussion paper that came a bit out of left field. We weren't quite expecting this one, and so following on from the from that prepared an item which went to workshop for initial conversation, and now coming through to council for further refinement pending submission, noting that the submission does not form a view as to whether there should be more, less or the same councillors. Leave that to individual councillors to make that take that position there, but noting the fact that probably the key things in there that some clarification in relation to superannuation being part of the overall allowance amount in the new amount. I expect it is that, which would mean that there'll be the allowance and the superannuation on top to give the total that's in the discussion paper. And then a few things just in relation to the review that's undertaken, the fact that they just seem to have worked it out on a cost-neutral basis, decide, well, what's a cost-neutral basis? OK, your allowance can go up to that, rather than actually taking a doing a review that determines what a fair reward actually is, rather than for the time involved in being taken, being a councillor. Also, a few questions around the metrics that they've used, which one of them being they based on population, but don't take any note of the absentee population, who have just as much right to raise issues, and they do. So no, I think that's a misnomer, taking that one. And also to do with development applications and the focus on the approval amount, that gets inflated by large developments, which, yes, can take a bit of time to deal with, but discretionary applications are actually the ones which take a bit of time to deal with as well. And so the recognition that maybe I think they should look at the levels of discretionary applications, which can be complex to address, and noting the one for the subdivision today, which had some 600 pages associated with it. So, but yeah, just interested in comments from from councillors, Mr. Mayor, in relation to what's there as a draft submission to go through to them, and we'll see what we can incorporate if there's some changes.
Well, firstly, can I get somebody that move that report to be received? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions or comments, please, to the report? Councillor Fever.
I'll start the ball rolling. I really believe in the reduction of numbers from 9 to 7 as far as this council goes. I believe the cost neutral factor is a load of rubbish. It's not cost neutral when you consider the 14% pay rise and then a couple of less councillors, but all those on costs disappear for two councillors as well. You know, even the food for the day, the paperwork, etc., etc. So that's rubbish to me, the cost neutral bit. And I believe they should go a step further and actually look at work conditions. And I think as councillors, we should get 4 weeks holiday to be taken sometime during the year. I think sick leave should be the same as in state services. I know things crop up and people have to take time off, but sometimes you end up with 5 or 6 councillors rather than 9, and that's really difficult. And I think there should be an independent review.
Thank you, Councillor Fever, and please be mindful that you put your own personal submission in with your concerns that you've just raised. Councillor Johnston.
First of all, I'd like to thank our General Manager for taking on board all the various conversations that we had in workshop to put this together. So thank you. Thank you for that. I'm not going to go through what I believe or not believe, because I think we did that, and this is a council, this is coming from the council, and I thank the General Manager for his efforts of what's been put together. I do think we need to note, however, that the so-called, you know, the increase of whatever, it's cost neutral. In actual fact, it's quite clear here in that it's actually cost, the council's in the main are actually getting quite a benefit. I mean, it is a benefit out of if they cut numbers. That's quite clear. There's a few that don't, but in the main, it's actually not cost neutral. They're actually not. They're not looking really at what councillors do. They're just looking at dollars, to me, in that. But really, this is about what our General Manager put together, and I want to thank him for putting this together and taking us all our disparate views and coming up with something very useful. So thank you.
Any other comments? As I said, just reiterate, it's up to each and every individual councillor to put in their own submission on this if they have any views at all that they would like to express. So that's really important. They are open for submission from everybody on this. And I think that's very important to reiterate. Any other questions or concerns? If not, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And I'm going to say to our coffee drinker in the corner,
thank you.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.
So we just close the recording.